The content and opinions expressed during this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. They are not intended in any way to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Weight Loss Conversations, brought to you by 3Health Medical Weight Loss Solutions. Your hosts, Bradley Butterfield, Marlene Sexton, and Brandy Wiltermuth, have over 30 years' experience treating health issues associated with excess body weight. Get ready for an in-depth, honest discussion about weight loss and your health. Be sure to visit our website at 3.health. That's T-H-R-E-E.health.
Welcome to Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health. I'm Brad Butterfield, the executive director of 3Health, as well as a practicing psychotherapist. And with me today is my partner, Brandy Wiltermuth, ARNP, and the medical director of 3Health. Good morning, Brandy. Marlene Sexton, our director of therapy, cannot be with us today, but taking her place is Alexis Morales, our medical assistant and operations manager.
I'm going to do my best.
Yeah, you will do your best. Hi, Alexis. How are you today? I'm glad you're here with us. So today we're going to talk about our theme is going to be, what is the diet mentality? What do you think about that theme, Brandy?
I think it's very prevalent.
Yeah.
We see it quite a bit in our patients.
When they first come into the clinic.
Yeah, and I think it makes a resurgence sometimes, too, even as people have been in our program and kind of under our wing for a while. I think it's sneaky, and it can rear its evil presence even after people have had success.
Okay.
Because I think it's just so hardwired, and it's still being messaged
very
strongly.
It's hardwired. Let's talk about that for a minute. Many or most of our patients who come in have been on a number of diets previously. That's not uncommon for our typical patient, right?
And they've had really good success.
Success losing weight.
Losing weight.
Okay. So I used to work with a surgeon in our other practice who would say to me, most diets work, and it used to really hack me off. I hated it when he said that. And now, years later, I get it. So we can get most people to lose weight on any diet, right?
Yeah. Pretty much.
I mean, eat grapefruit for 30 days and we can get you to lose weight. And then we've heard about most diets. People come in and they say, yeah, I've been on a number of diets, and then they'll just list off on their fingers all the different diets they've been on and all the weight they've lost.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And but unfortunately, they're with us because not only have they lost the weight, but they've regained the weight and then some.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times, too, is it's in the name of the diet, right? It's like 30 days, lose 15 pounds in 30 days on the so-and-so diet, whatever
right.
that may be.
Okay.
So inherently we think, well, we're going to do this for 30 days. We're going to lose this amount of weight that we want to lose. And then after that, we're just going to go back to our regular life.
So that's, Alexis, you're saying that's a big part of the diet mentality.
Yeah, I would say
okay.
so.
And then Brandy, of course the number on the scale is a big part of the number of the diet mentality, right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times it kind of boiled down to, it doesn't really matter how you do it as long as you do it.
Or hit that number, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
As long as your weight is going down, which has led to a lot of very dysfunctional eating and a lot of strategies that were very unhealthy for people to lose weight. And it was not really a concern because people who were promoting that were telling people that it was important to have rapid weight loss, that this was temporary, that as soon as they achieved a certain goal, then they could stop.
Okay, so I like to talk to that. So diet implies start and stop. I mean, it's time specific. There's a starting point and a stopping point, and the stopping point speaks to the success maybe of hitting that number that's in your head or somebody else has established for you. But
right.
when you hit that number, then you're successful and you can stop.
I think maybe putting it in an easier perspective for people is to put a time limit on it, right? So if you're sitting down at lunch with your coworker and they say, well, I'm on a diet, I can't eat that. Well, that person who's on a diet thinks that they're only going to be doing this for a certain amount of time because it's not a good experience, right? They don't want to be on the diet. So they think and the other people believe that this is just for a short-term period. They're going to lose the weight and then they'll go back to normal.
Well, it's a form of deprivation from mm-hmm. or a departure from normal.
Which is why diet is inherently negative.
Right.
Okay.
It's thought of that way.
Well, it's not easy.
There's some other characteristics. It's not individualized. You know, you just pick one. You do the cabbage soup diet or whatever, and it will work for anybody. Okay. And that's you know, obviously can be true, but it's not sustainable.
Well, and then a lot of the commercial programs now are selling their food, and so you go on a commercial diet program and you're just eating their packaged food, which can be successful also, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. there's lots of ways to skin the cat, supposedly, yeah. if you want to think
but
of it that
but
way.
But those are highly prescriptive, so if you're not very adept at cooking or preparing food, which a lot of people aren't, then it's highly prescriptive. If they just hand you all three meals and your snacks during the day, there's something to be said for that. You just follow that and you lose the weight mm-hmm. and you're done.
But right. Who wants to do that forever?
Well, it's expensive, but also...
there's a dependence on sure, those kinds sure. of products, which yeah, is so kind of
say,
the goal.
So when you say who wants to do it forever, that'd be pretty tough. I mean, unless you were inordinately wealthy or you're right. It's probably impossible to do it forever.
Well, it's kind of unrealistic. I mean, are you going to bring a box of food with you to every sporting event you go to, every wedding, every birthday,
every dinner,
you know, every vacation you go to? Are you going to pack all of these meals with you? Probably not.
Okay.
So it's good to learn realistic outlets for food in real life. Whole foods.
But once again, if there's a start-stop date mentality, I doubt that anybody's proposing you do it forever. So the point is you eat that packaged food until you hit your stop, which is your goal weight, right?
Yeah.
And then you get to go back to, and as a psychotherapist, I hate this word, but you go back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that normal is what the way that you used to eat, right?
Right.
But the way you used to eat got you to the starting point.
Right. So then when people gain their weight back, they go, oh, I went to this place and I lost weight doing this, so I'm going to go back to that.
Say that again to me so I understand.
Commercial
it.
Weight loss programs mm-hmm. help people lose weight, but they aren't invested in helping people learn how to keep it off. And they are banking on the fact that the people are going to regain their weight and come right back to their program because it did work.
Yeah, how many times we've had patients who come in and say, well, I've been to Weight Watchers a few times,
yeah,
you know, over the last 6 years.
Okay.
So it's the weight loss industry itself has, you know, created this idea that all you have to do is this one thing and it's really easy and it's supposed to be easy and it's going to work really well and it's going to be fast. And then when you're done with that, go maintain it, knowing full well that people really haven't learned any skills. They haven't figured out what food does in their body. So there's no way they'll be able to maintain their weight loss. And they hope, hey, I remember where I lost weight and I'm going to go do that again.
Okay. So it's not a life skill.
No.
I mean, it's not a lifelong skill.
Right.
Okay. So one of the things that we do here at 3Health with our behavioral program, and what, Brandy, what you and I message with our new patients in our evaluations and our consults is we certainly want to see people lose the weight, but we are pretty articulate in that we want them to sustain the weight loss. We sincerely don't want our patients to come back.
Right.
But our programs take a little bit longer, right?
Right.
To learn these new skills, you're not going to do that in a couple of months.
And I think that people need to practice them. And if you think about all of the different things that people are going to experience and challenges they're going to have in a 12-month or 24-month period, it's pretty likely that they're going to run into something that they don't know how to handle. And them being in our program will help make sure that that's not the thing that derails them.
Okay.
So I think a necessary time is at least a year, but it's better if people give it a couple of years. And that, you know, just saying that, I think, is going to make some people very uncomfortable.
Well, we're not societally geared to take that much time to get results. And that's difficult for us to look at people and say that. Most people go into weight loss programs and they want to lose this weight once they make up their mind quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though as a therapist, sometimes I would like to say, and I don't, some of this weight gain has taken years to put on.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It took a while to gain the weight.
And people do recognize that, but that doesn't change their desire to have it be gone tomorrow.
Sure. And it isn't just with weight gain and weight loss that we feel that way. This is we do this as Americans in many areas. When we've made up our mind that we want to make change, we want to make change now.
Right.
We're living in an instant gratification era.
Sure.
Yeah, I went to the gym twice. I should be good now.
You're fit now. You went to the gym twice last week. You're ready
good.
To you're ready to go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's you know, a lot of that, like I said, has been sort of perpetuated by the weight loss industry itself, making these claims. And then there's also the overall sort of accepted theory that it's got to be eat less, exercise more, that there's no other way, and that is the way. And so however we get you to do that is going to be how you're successful. And I have a problem with that because I think what ends up happening is that people can do it and they can be hungry and they can have low energy and they can, you know, not be able to function for a little while. But at some point something happens where they need to be able to do better in their life, and that's what makes the diet plan unsustainable.
Sure. Well, I've been an athlete my entire life, and I can tell you that eating less and exercising more is just one big bonk. You're just going to run into a figurative wall when you do that. You're going to run out of energy, and exercising more is going to be really tough. It's just not fun. And if you haven't been exercising, exercising more is not very much fun. It's really hard.
Right. And what are you going to do? You can't keep exercising more and expending more energy and continuing to eat less and less. There will be a point where you cannot continue to do that.
Right. If you're going to build muscle, which we want to see people do, you've got to feed the body to do that.
Right.
It doesn't work otherwise.
Which is part of the dieter mentality, that it doesn't, that those things aren't important or even talked about.
Sure.
Right? On a diet that you could eat more.
Or that you could, potentially you need to gain muscle. I mean, I need to gain muscle. I know that. But that's not something that people want to hear when they're coming to lose weight.
Yeah. They don't want to hear the word gain in any capacity.
Right.
Okay. So, we want to encourage people. We're not going to break people down in this message. But to message this to people does take time.
Right.
We do this slowly.
Right.
And we're here to build people up. And so to message this, and what is fun is that aha moment. And that some for most people takes a little bit of time, doesn't it?
It does.
It's education. And we work with people. And when someone gets it, when you kind of see the lights coming on, it's really fun. People initially like program. I mean, people look at you and they look at me and they say, well, how many times have you heard them say, well, just tell me what to do, mm-hmm. right? I mean, they want guidance. We're not above that. And we do guide people, but it is a transition, isn't it? I mean, we want to transition them into from more prescriptive programs and guiding them into figuring this out.
Right.
Okay. So would you say it's a combination of
yeah, I think we start off with, you know, having people learn the skills and the tools, and then in the end I want people to tell me what they're doing and how it works and what tools they need.
Yeah.
by the time they've achieved maintenance.
What's really cool is when after a time when patients come in and give us new discoveries.
Yeah.
And teach us things. I love that. When someone comes in and says, hey, I discovered this, and they're very excited about it, and it's something that teaches us.
Right.
I love that part. So this is Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
With decades of experience helping patients change their lives, 3Health Weight Loss Solutions can help you too. At 3Health, we provide proven and science-based solutions for realistic, achievable, and sustainable results. We're unique, just like you, and the relationships you have with food and yourself. Find out how we treat obesity, depression, high cholesterol, and more. Just give us a call and change your life today. 425-606-0022. Or visit us online at 3.health. That's THREE.health.
Alternative Talk 1150. It's good for what ails you. This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA.
Welcome back. This is Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health. I'm Brad Butterfield, and I'm with my partner, Brandy Wiltermuth, and joining us today is Alexis Morales, our operations manager. We're talking today about what is the diet mentality, or maybe another theme is ditch the diet mentality. And before the break, we were talking about our patients who come into our clinic in medical weight loss, and many of them have been on all kinds of diets previously and lost lots of weight, and they've also regained the weight. So when they come to us, they will often talk about all the different diets they've been on. In fact, Brandy and Alexis, a few years ago, I had a female patient look at me and say, you know, I'm the supreme authority on pretty much on dieting. And I didn't doubt her when she said that to me. She said it very seriously, and I did believe her. She knows more or knew more about dieting than I probably ever will, because she had spent a lifetime dieting.
Right.
And then, of course, regaining the weight. And so when she came to us, there was lots of frustration, lots of history. And Brandy, one of the things that we do in medical weight loss is we look at the individual. We're not a group think or a commercial program that's kind of a one-size-fits-all. We have to look at the individual, because individuals have individual medical and metabolic needs. And of course, as a therapist, I have to look at everybody individually and what their individual mental health history and behavioral history is, because that's how we're all built. So speak to me a little bit about how that differentiates 3Health from another program.
So a lot of commercial weight loss programs sort of ignore individual nutritional needs. That's a theme among them. And here at 3Health, we individualize the nutrition plan based on a lot of data. So we gather information about the person's body in terms of body composition, muscle mass, and then we look at their blood work and determine their risk for cardiovascular disease and insulin resistance and maybe nutritional deficiencies. And finally, we negotiate the perfect nutrition plan for them with the patient.
So I'm going to bore down. I want you to give me a specific. On our website, it says, if you want to lose 25 pounds or 150 pounds. So we have, that's a really wide range of different patients that we are, in fact, working with.
Mm-hmm.
So if a patient comes in here and says, yeah, I've got this 25 pounds, and often they'll say, I've lost this 25 pounds a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
How would you approach that patient differently, nutritionally, than a patient that is quite a bit heavier, higher BMI, obese, and needs to lose 100+ pounds? And I know that I'm not presenting you with a bunch of metabolic information, but
yeah,
in general, can you give me an answer to that?
I can. I think mainly the person that has 25 pounds to lose is more metabolically flexible. They may have a more abundant source of, you know, carbohydrate intake when they're diet, you know, when they're on their nutrition plan to lose weight, where someone who's much heavier would require more protein, probably because they have higher muscle mass.
Okay.
Right. But they may have to be a little more aggressively restricted on their carbohydrates.
Really? Okay.
Due to if they had insulin resistance. And then the other factor that's not really that easy to discern just by looking at weight is what are their eating habits? So how is food being utilized? And that very much influences the way that you have to help people sort through that. But most people who are fairly overweight have the most...
You're talking about the higher weight
higher
person.
Higher BMI okay. people. Okay. They have a more dysfunctional relationship with food, commonly. But the people who are lower in weight have experienced weight loss and have done a variety of different really strict things. So the belief is that they both end up believing they have to be very strict
okay.
to be able to have success.
Okay.
So it's not really nutritionally, it's going to depend on their body and their blood work. And obviously okay. the person who's heavier has more muscle, so they're going to require more energy. Right. But what I can't ever guess is how the carbohydrate intake is going to look based on their labs.
So you can actually prescribe an eating plan with specific macronutrients, the macronutrients simply being the protein, the fats, and the carbohydrates,
mm-hmm.
and craft that so that the weight loss might be more successful based on all of these tests that you're doing?
Right. And then, of course, negotiating with the patient about what they're willing to do and how aggressive they want to be, because it's also goal-oriented. If they say, I want to lose this weight, you know, in the next 3 months, but I want to do it safely and I want to get off, let's say, blood pressure medication, that person may choose to take a more aggressive route. We might put them on a ketogenic diet, let's say, where the person who has gained weight over 20 years and has not had very good success with a commercial weight loss program, they might take a more moderate approach.
And maybe take a little bit longer, is that what you're saying?
It might end up taking them a little bit longer, yeah.
Okay.
So
okay.
So it's so really...
this is a conversation that you're having with them also.
Right, right. And
okay.
it's a negotiation all along.
Okay.
So it's sort of like there's tools that we have in our toolbox, and as I was just talking with a patient, we have to learn what the tools are and what they do and when and how we're going to use them.
Okay.
And one of the biggest challenges that I see, is that people come in, they're ready to go, they want to do this, like you said, they want it now.
Right.
And so they're going to join the gym,
mm-hmm.
they're going to go shopping, get all the food they need, they're going to make their appointments, they're going to, you know, start the program, maybe a medication to help with appetite, and in a month, we won't know what worked. We won't know which of those
okay.
tools was more important.
Right.
So I have to explain to people that this is a process where we have to explore each tool.
Sure.
I need people to understand what each tool is capable of doing.
Okay.
And then there's always a cause and effect, right? So people come in, they're not drinking water, and we encourage them to drink more water. They're going to have to go to the bathroom more. I mean, it's just, you know, then later we say, well, now we need to start having more physical activity. And they are willing to do that. Well, guess what? It's probably going to influence your appetite
and
hunger.
So it's a combination of things.
Yeah.
And it's an individualized experiment.
Right.
Okay. I like that answer.
Yeah.
All yeah. Right. Well, the design is supposed to change with the patient, which is why we depend on them to kind of figure out how things work later down the road,
okay.
right?
Right.
And then, of course, on the behavioral side, wow, that it really is individualized.
Yeah.
So I'm having all kinds of conversations with people. And we have the eternal question, is it nature or nurture? Mm-hmm. So the first thing we do is in our evaluation is we talk about genetic predisposition. What did you do in your family of origin? What was your biological family? What were their body types? What were your siblings? Did you come from a family that was overweight? Or was everybody in the family height, weight proportionate? And were you the only one in the family who struggled with weight? If mm-hmm. that's the case, that gives me some signals to talk about some other behavioral things. How did you eat in the family of origin? So once again, that gets to those nature and nurture questions, and lots of things follow from that. We talk a lot about family systems.
Right.
One of my biggest questions is who's in your house? Are you single? Do you live alone? Do you live with a partner? Do you live with a spouse? Is it just the two of you? Or are you a working mom with three teenagers in the house and a partner or a spouse? And how many meals are being prepared, or how many different meals are you preparing at once? And what are all those different elements play a really big role in behaviorally
in
environment.
Right. People and
what
say
are the
here,
challenges?
Eat this, not that.
That's right. And
you're single,
right? Well, it's in some ways, Alexis. If you're single, it can be a little bit easier because you're just making choices for yourself. And when we talk about a clean kitchen,
right,
that's up to you. But then we talk about sabotage. Can sabotage be subtle, or can it be overt? Are you in a relationship with someone who doesn't want you to lose weight?
I almost sometimes think that being alone can lead to like sneaky sabotage, right? You barter with yourself and you maybe buy something, I'll be slow with it or something.
Yeah.
Whereas where you have outright sabotage by family members or
sure.
a significant other.
Sure. So we don't live in a vacuum. We know that relationships play a key role.
Oh yeah.
And because we don't isolate, or we hope that we don't. And yet, I was with a relatively new patient yesterday who, when she starts a diet, this is part of the diet mentality, she does isolate. She told me that she cuts off all social activities with her friends until she hits her number, her magic number. And that's kind of a drag.
Unsustainable.
Well, it's not a very nice way to live. Not to go be or see your friends for 3 or 4 months because you're, quote, on a diet now. You're right. It is not sustainable.
Yeah.
So,
but it does speak to the you know, that there's a start and stop to this.
Right.
That's what
exactly.
It goes back to.
It goes back to that. You're exactly right. That start and stop. I'll isolate from either family or friends or outside activities, or I won't go out
right.
and be social or active while I'm on, quote, a diet. And
right.
That's a miserable way to live.
Especially when they're already doing it. You know, if that's part of your lifestyle, you go to happy hour with your friends.
Uh-huh.
You got to find a way to navigate going to happy hour, but not, you know, feeling worse about your choices in the end, but you can't not do the activity.
Right. So, you know, that's a great point, part of the diet mentality. Maybe we'll talk about that after we take a break, is how do you live amongst the rest of the world when you're, if you're living with a diet mentality versus what we're proposing here at 3 Health with a healthy way of eating and living. So we are going to take a break and we'll be right back. Thank you.
Introducing 3 Health Medical Weight Loss Solutions, a unique weight loss clinic backed by real medical research with a treatment focusing on the entire person, mind, body, and spirit. From medical services for obesity and high blood pressure to behavioral services for emotional eating and depression, 3 Health Medical Weight Loss Solutions can help you change your relationship with food, your relationship with yourself, and with life. Find out more, 425-606-0022. Or online at 3.health. That's 3.health.
Make it a great day. Keep your dial on Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome to Weight Loss Conversations with 3 Health. I'm Brad Butterfield, and I'm with my partner, Brandy Wiltermuth. And also today with us is Alexis Morales, our medical assistant and operations manager. Our subject today is what is the diet mentality, or what I like to say is let's ditch the diet mentality. And just before our break, we were talking about not isolating. When people are on a diet, often they will say to us, I won't socialize, I'm not going to go out, I'm going to stay home, I'm going to hold on for dear life until this diet is over. They're looking at this start and stop mentality, and we're saying that is a miserable way to live. So, Brandy, strategies for living a real life and socializing and maybe going out, but a way to do it differently. Give me some ideas.
So a really common situation that people face is they meet friends, and it's sort of a scheduled thing that they do often.
Yeah, let's say it's Friday night after work.
It's happy hour.
Okay, happy hour.
And so you know where you're going to go. You know who's going to be there. You know what things you used to choose.
And we might call those triggers, or yeah.
Right, or you know, you're just very conscious of the traps, I guess,
okay.
If you want to think of it that way. So not going does not help you to develop any skills for how you're going to continue losing weight and have a social life. So what I usually want people to recognize is that if they make a decision to have something that isn't 100% on plan, it's better to make that decision and do it feeling in control than it is to go or avoid it and not go at all, or to go and say, I'm just not going to have these things that I really want. Because most of the time you will, and then you'll feel worse and feel guilty, and that's when you blow it,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you might not start up again on trying to stay on track of what you're eating until Monday or whenever. So if we go into the situation with a strategy of I'm making a decision instead of making a mistake, then people feel like they're in control, and it probably won't escalate.
Right.
Whereas if they've made a mistake, or they were bad, which is the other word that people use all the time, that then because they're bad, they might as well just keep doing it.
Keep being bad.
You know, so, I was so bad that I might as well just eat anything I want.
And so one of the great escalators, and this has been true for all of us, can be alcohol.
Yeah.
And so often with a patient, one of the strategies we'll talk about is an alcohol strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even utilized this in my own life. And so I do okay with a glass of wine. But I'll call it, one of the things that we talk about is what I call wine creep. Mm-hmm. So one glass can lead to two glasses, and two glasses can lead to three glasses. And by the time I'm at three or more glasses, it's just kind of out the window with me. Don't ask me to control my food choices, because at least for me, there's not much control at that point.
Right.
So, yeah, you're laughing, Alexis. But so here's the deal. There's different strategies I'll use mindfully going into those situations. Mm-hmm. One of them is if I want to stick to one glass of wine, I'll order a really expensive glass of wine on the menu. That's an inhibitor for me. Instead of the $6 happy hour glass, I may order the $15 or $16 or $17 really expensive glass. That keeps me down to a single glass.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I do to slow down is I do like a water with carbonation in it. So I order a bottle, one of the bottles of Pellegrino. And I like it with ice. That's maybe counterintuitive, but I will drink the entire bottle of Pellegrino, fill my glass of ice up quite often throughout the event, and it really, really slows my wine drinking down.
Mm-hmm.
So there are different techniques that you can use to mindfully slow down alcohol use.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still sipping on a glass of wine. I'm still part of the party, so to speak, but I feel like I'm part of the social event, but I'm not getting out of control. So it's a mindfulness tool that I utilize not to let my eating get out of control also. So
right. I think it really boils down to the all or nothing.
Right. That's correct.
People have this, I have to be perfect if I'm going to be able to lose weight. And here at 3 Health, I try to get everyone to recognize that anything can fit into their plan.
Correct.
You know, it's the volume of it and mm-hmm. the timing of it that are more important than the actual item. So the strategy also includes when and how do I put these things into my plan so I'll enjoy it, but I won't lose control and I won't have to be perfect to be successful.
And not check out of life, so to speak.
Right.
A number of my patients with wine creep, so to speak, are not drinking wine during any of the weeknights, and they're saving it for maybe one or two weekend nights.
Mm-hmm.
And so, once again, not totally isolating socially, but and still feeling like they have a life, but really controlling the amount of alcohol that they're drinking.
Right. I like using weight graphs.
Okay.
I ask people to graph their weight and pay attention to the patterns that we see month after month. And it's really eye-opening to people to see the pattern. So they'll lose weight during the week. The weekend, the weight goes up. Lose weight during the week. And it becomes very self-evident and self-explanatory to them of why and how they're gaining that weight. And again, it's not that they're being bad. That's not what I want them to come away with. It's that now you know what it is. You can either choose to keep doing it and continue to battle this way, or we can make some changes.
Sure.
And that really helps people understand the effect of certain foods. Another thing that happens, and it's really common with females, is that, you know, during the month they'll have weight gain around their cycle and they forget that this is happening, or they don't put the two together, and so they start to panic as their weight is going up. But then when we see it month after month after month, they don't panic anymore. They know exactly what it is. They're in control, and they know it's going to resolve itself. So those kinds of things, and showing ourselves and doing sort of a self-experiment and gathering that observational data on ourselves, is really what helps people get away from the dieter mentality, I think, because weight will go up and down and up and down a little bit.
So what you're saying is by the weight graph or giving ourselves information, then we can manage it.
We get informed, and then we're in control, and we know what we need to do.
It's not such a mystery to us.
Right.
Okay, that's a good idea.
The basic concept is I want people to gain confidence that they know why and how their body is working that way.
Okay.
It's kind of their aha moment, right?
Yeah.
They can say, well, I'm going to make that choice, like you say, and then I'm going to go back to whatever I was doing before that was working,
right?
But I'm going to enjoy this right now.
Right. And it's not that they may still choose to do whatever it was they were doing, right? And that's fine if that's their choice and that's the way they want to go about approaching that. I have no problem with that.
Okay, so I want to, it's Friday night. Let's go back to Friday night happy hour. Let's go back there. And ditching the diet mentality, which is our theme today. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect. And I talk to my patients, or our patients, a lot about this in behavior. Look, every once in a while, we blow it. And the most common diet mentality that I get with new patients when one of my evaluation questions is, when in the past have you quit a diet? And I get this answer most often, 90% of the time. I quit a diet when I blow a diet.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's Friday night. We blew it. We had a bad night. We drank too much, or we just ate too much. And come Saturday morning, the mentality often is, well, I'll wait until Monday. I think I'll just go ahead and blow it for the rest of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take a real quick break. And when we come back, I want to address these thoughts of, I have to be perfect. I have to hold on really tight. When I blow a diet, I'm going to quit a diet. And I want to talk about the fact that we're not perfect human beings, and the tools that we're giving our patients to use, we're all imperfect people, and how we get back on track. So this is Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health. We'll be right back.
With decades of experience helping patients change their lives, 3Health Weight Loss Solutions can help you too. At 3Health, we provide proven and science-based solutions for realistic, achievable, and sustainable results. We're unique, just like you, and the relationships you have with food and yourself.
Find out how we treat obesity, depression, high cholesterol, and more. Just give us a call and change your life today. 425-606-0022. Or visit us online at 3.health. That's THREE.health.
Organic, free range, and fresh daily. Alternative Talk 1150.
This is Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health. I'm Brad Butterfield, and with me today are my partner, Brandy Wiltermuth, and we also have Alexis Morales with us today, who is our medical assistant and operations manager. Our theme today is, what is the diet mentality, or another one that we like is ditch the diet mentality. And so just before the break, we were talking about an attitude that a lot of people have who come into our clinic initially, and one of the questions that we ask them is, in the past, when have you quit a diet? And most often I hear is, when I blow a diet, I quit a diet. In other words, people are operating under this code of perfection that if they're not absolutely perfect, then they quit a diet. And I think with most folks, they're holding on so tight, there's such deprivation, and it's so difficult that for whatever reason, when they are not perfect, they just quit and they move on. We were talking, we were using an example, Brandy, about maybe Friday night happy hour and some mindful practices that you can use, some strategies you can use not to isolate, to be a human being and still be with family or friends or coworkers, and be able to go out and practice some different strategies and still support mindful and healthful eating and or drinking. We use some alcohol examples. But just before the break, I said, okay, so what happens when you just blow it? Mm-hmm. Maybe you drank too much or you ate too much, and Saturday morning rolls around and you said, oh man, bad night last night. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go around with you and Alexis and myself, and I want to talk about,
recovery.
Yeah, I woke up and it was a bad night. And what I hear quite often to introduce this is, often we rationalize and we say, well, it's Saturday morning, I think I'll just wait until Monday. Mm-hmm. I'll get back on board on Monday. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this on other programs. We hear this often over the holidays. And we know that the holidays, what we call the holidays, is a long season. It goes from Thanksgiving to New Year's.
It's Halloween. The eating season.
Oh, Halloween. Yeah, you're right.
To January.
Yeah, so how long is that, you guys? Is that 2.5 months?
Yeah, two months.
Okay, so Halloween to January is 2 months. And how often have we heard, yeah, my New Year's resolution or January 2nd, I'll get back on. Yeah. Which is 1/6 of the entire year. And then I've often heard with parents and teenagers, well, graduation season is coming up, which can be from May 1st to the end of June, or it's wedding season or
summer vacation.
There's always something. And
so when we get into this rationalization, perfection mode, all of a sudden we've got, or now, we just passed through the Easter season with Easter candy. We've got lots of reasons that we'll get back on when. Mm-hmm. And boy, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
So I think it actually starts with the mentality going into it. If I feel in control and I make a decision, and even if I don't achieve everything that I set out to do at that Friday night happy hour, it's easier to recover the next day that I may have made some good decisions, right? And I think paying attention to how I feel is way more important than how I think about it. So if I feel tired and I have a lot of cravings, which is generally what happens to me, it's pretty easy for me to look at that items I ate or the behavior of the night before and really be able to recognize why. And that makes it easier the next time I go to try, what are the choices I'm going to make this time? And I really think it is about doing a study on yourself and then having the ability to just say, well, I'm going to make different changes. I'm going to make different choices. I'm going to see how it feels. I'm going to see how I respond to that. But in a very practical way, if that were to happen to me, the first thing that I do the next day is I eat a lot of eggs and bacon.
Okay.
Because if I say, well, I was so bad last night that I just won't eat today,
you're going to starve yourself today. Okay.
Right, because then I'll end up eating the pizza.
Yeah.
You know.
Because you're starving at 5 o'clock.
And I already blew it, really. Okay. Yeah. You know, yeah. So it's like, if I can get back on protein, I can satiate, I can get on top of cravings, then I know I'm going to do a lot better, even if I still don't feel that great.
Okay.
It's going to resolve itself a lot faster.
Okay. Alexis, what do you do? Do you ever have bad nights?
Yeah, of course, all the time. But I think, so I agree with Brandy. I do look at how I feel. But another thing that I also do is, Brandy had me fill out a form of the reasons why I want to lose weight. And looking back at those things that I list kind of helps keep me in the mindset of, well, maybe I messed up last night, but I still want to accomplish these things. So I need to get focused and continue what I was doing before and don't let this derail me completely. Right. So I accept it for what it was, try to make better decisions next time, like Brandy, and then move on.
Okay.
But it's being aware, I think, that is most important for people, being aware of how those foods or how that drink made you feel the next day. Because if people kind of ignore that and say, well, it was a bad night and I blew it, so I'm just going to continue to blow it, then they didn't take the time to acknowledge what it actually did to them in order for them to make a better decision next time.
Right. Okay. Well, that goes along with the dieter mentality of what's the point?
Right.
I'm going to screw up anyway.
Okay.
You know, it. So reminding yourself of the reasons why you're doing it in the first place can be powerful.
Okay.
You know, to get back on track.
Those are good. I think those are both good.
What are your strategies?
Well, here goes the psychotherapist. So, first of all, none of us are very good at practicing grace for ourselves. We would never talk to our loved ones the way that we self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
So, I use the example of my daughter was a select softball player and she chose to play shortstop, which is, you know, 50 or 80% of the ground balls would come to her. And she was pretty good, but every once in a while she'd blow it. So if every time she blew it, she came home or she would come in tears or come to the dugout in tears. I was an assistant coach and she'd throw her mitt down and say, I'm going to quit. And I, as the coach or the parent or the father, said, yeah, I think you should. You blew it. I think you should quit. You'd never talk to your kid that way, but we talk to ourselves that way.
Yeah.
We don't practice much grace or mercy for ourselves. We have this standard of perfection for ourselves that we would never put on anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So let's practice some grace for ourselves, first of all, which is kind of our human condition.
It's practicing that self-talk that we talk about.
We're much harder on ourselves than we would even think about being on other people. Secondly, anything that we start that's new, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to blow it. Let's face it.
Got to practice.
We're out of practice. So I've been in practice with this for a long time, but I still have my moments. Trust me. And you know me well enough to know the one thing I do every day, just as part of my practice, is in the morning I get on the scale. And I most often journal my food, and I have a practice of working out every morning. And so if I blew it at happy hour and it went into the evening on Friday night, I still make myself get on the scale. And the scale doesn't trigger me emotionally. Some of our patients, that's not healthy. For me, I just do it because if I really blew it, it's my tool. It's a three-legged stool for me. The other thing that I do is when I blow it, I practice some accountability and I do journal all the bad stuff I ate. I find it interesting. It provides an interesting record for me, not unlike the chart, the weight chart you were talking about earlier. And then I do my workout.
Well, they're not bad foods.
Right.
They're just foods that weren't on your plan.
That's right. And so what I do is Saturday morning, I just get back on like I do every other day.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't do is say, yeah, I'll just wait till Monday. Now, I will tell you, often on Saturday morning, I'm not feeling real
chipper
and great, but just as a form of discipline at that point, I just say, yeah, I'm going to get back on Saturday morning.
You know, after doing this for, I've been doing this for 12 years, I think people have the perception that I eat perfectly. And I obviously don't. Nobody does. But I don't, it doesn't even impact me negatively anymore. I just think of it as information. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I try to teach our patients, is that there's no mistakes. There's no bad behavior. It's just all information. So if you can be objective about figuring out why and then what happens and then what to do next time, it's a learning opportunity.
But Brandy, the other thing too that I would say is you're not living on 500 or 800 calories a day. You're not starving.
Oh, no.
If you were starving yourself, you're not looking for an excuse to get off this thing.
Yeah, you have to fuel your body appropriately too, which I have learned
how to do. Which is part of the individualized program.
Right.
Okay. When I tell people that I help them lose weight and I work at a medical weight loss clinic, they automatically ask me, oh, you must eat really healthy. Well, for the most part I do, but I make it very clear, I'm not perfect. I have cake sometimes and I don't eat strictly every single day of my life. And their eyes kind of get big and wide and they're like, oh, really? Like, but you've lost so much weight. Well, yeah, but I have a bunch of other tools in my bag and I've learned a lot of different strategies so that I don't sabotage myself forever.
Right.
You know, it's a one and done, and then, you know, I learn from it, you know.
That might be the next show, because what people think is healthy eating is a lot different than what we actually ask
people to do. There is a term for
that,
actually. An eating disorder related to overly healthy eating.
Okay. Well, that might be an interesting show for next week, maybe pulling some of the really loaded emotions out of eating and the misnomers or the misunderstanding around what people
think.
The
language around what is healthy.
Yeah, the language about what is healthy eating. So, Alexis, I think you have a couple of announcements for us.
Yeah, so we are all going to be at the Low Carb USA conference event here in Seattle. It is an event where we all get to learn more about the low carb world, the people in it who advocate for diabetes management, weight management, and overall better standard of care when it comes to nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really excited about that. And we are also doing a cupboard collection drive. So it's a food drive that we're actually hosting for Northwest Harvest, which provides food to food pantries all over Puget Sound, both Snohomish and King County, for people who need to use that service. And you can drop it off within our clinic hours, Tuesday through Saturday. If you look online at www.3health, you can find it on our blog with all of the details.
So the information for the Northwest Harvest Drive is going to be on our website.
Yep, and we named our event the Cupboard Collection Drive because we often ask our patients to empty out certain things out of their cupboard.
Clear out your cupboards.
Yep, and to avoid wasting any of that food, we want it to go to a good cause.
Oh, that's a great idea. I like that. And Brandy, the Low Carb USA drive, or excuse me, seminar that we're going to, that's a national seminar with...
It's actually international.
International,
mm-hmm.
Even though it's called Low Carb USA.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be widely acclaimed advocates and speakers there from...
Physicians, researchers, scientists.
It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to be really smart.
It's really nerdy, but
okay.
I love it.
Right.
Heroes in the low carb world.
Okay. And after we attend that, what are the dates again for that, Alexis?
May 3rd through the 5th.
Okay, so, and I think May, 6th or 7th is going to be our Monday program.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll be thematic. Maybe we'll be so excited about it. That's the program we'll share all of the information.
I don't doubt that you will hear our excitement.
Okay. This has been Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health. I'm Brad Butterfield. I've been with Brandy Wiltermuth and Alexis Morales. It's been great to be with you this week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good week and be safe out there.
Thanks for listening to Weight Loss Conversations, brought to you by 3Health Medical Weight Loss Solutions. We love hearing from our audience, so be sure to drop us a note. We so appreciate when you tell family and friends about our program. Also, don't forget that our past programs are found at 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com.
Have a wonderful week and tune in next Monday at 8 a.m. That's 8 a.m. Monday. Be sure to visit our website at 3.health. That's T-H-R-E-E.health.
The content and opinions expressed during this program were those of the hosts, guests, and callers. They are not intended in any way to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.